the cross up here attests to the fact that he died for us. If there were a manger, well, there is a manger scene. The manger scene shows that God gave. If you'll hang around till about April, we'll celebrate the resurrected Savior, and there'll be an empty tomb that'll prove that he's coming back because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. What a joy and an honor and privilege to be here in the Lord's house today. It's good to see Miss Judy and Chad and Amanda, the girls back. Judy, we've been continually in prayer for you folks, and we will continue to lift you up. Chad, we love you, buddy, and we'll continue lifting you guys up. You're not alone in your grief, and I promise you that. And let nobody tell you that there's a timeline for grieving. There's not one. That person that tells you you ought to be over it by now or get over this, don't listen to them. Grief is different than any other thing you'll ever deal with, and you take the time you need. It's just so good to be back in the Lord's house. Somebody got a word already. Brother Gwen, you about to pop over when the choir was singing. You good, brother? You all right? You're ready? Well, if you're ready, get up. If you're ready, get up. I'm going to preach. Lord's got a mesh on my heart out of the book of Mark, chapter number 28. So with the Lord as our help, we will bring a short message today. And when I say short message, I mean it. Hey, some of you say they're going to be short today. And 3 hours later, you know, we're all wondering when we're going to get to eat. But I appreciate what goes on around Calvary. I appreciate that young couple yesterday that trusted the Lord in their marriage and sealed their vows in Christian unity right here where I stand. They just a beautiful ceremony, beautiful service for Chelsea and Jesse. And let's pray for that young couple that God will bless them and just blend those two families together. There's many other things going on in the church that you might not see. One of them is we got a lot of people that are not here today that might normally have been here. And the church has got some fruit baskets over here in the old fellowship hall. I think there's 7 of them left. Cindy and I took some of them, but there's still 7 that need to be taken. If you were one of the people here today that would like to take one of them, I know Rebecca Montoya and maybe others have already volunteered to go grab a fruit basket. Rebecca's got Ray Fall on her mind, so she said, I'd like to go see Miss Ray. So that one's already taken, but there will be 6 or 7 others back there. There's a card, Rebecca, with the baskets. So you go over there and pick up a basket. And I can't give you all the names of the ones that are left because I don't know who's got them and what they're doing. But if you're one of those persons that would like to go see one of our shut-ins, you go grab that fruit basket and the baskets from the church and take it to one of our shut-ins. And I'm sure they'll be blessed by the receiving. You'll be blessed by going. I promise you that. If nobody got anything, I paused long enough. We're in the book of Mark. I told you Mark, but we're in Matthew chapter 28. If you went to Mark chapter 1, you're already there. But it's on the latter part. You say, well, Matthew 28's not a Christmas story. It's after the empty tomb, and it's after the resurrection. You're right, but it's what God put on my heart, so that's what we're going to go with. You've been around me long enough to know that I don't always get the special messages on the special days. I'm still praying about a Christmas message. Maybe we'll get one. But every message is about Christ. So every message is thus Christmas-minded. Today's message, if I were to title it, and I'm not preaching so much about doubt, and please don't think I'm trying to put a question mark around your salvation because I don't want anybody to doubt it. I want you to nail that thing down once and for all and get past that. But there's a verse of Scripture in here, and you'll see it, and it's the latter part of verse number 17. It says, but some doubted. And I don't want you to commit to something in faith and then let the devil make you undo it in doubt. So we'll stand to give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Such a powerful chapter here. I'm just going to read the entire 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. And it is about the after the resurrection, but there are some things that goes on in the latter part of this chapter that I want to preach about today. In the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. In other words, the guards just completely passed out. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And said Jesus, and then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Brother Gwen, ask God to bless us. Amen. As you're being seated, and like I said, I do not want anybody in here to call into question or doubt their salvation. That's not what the intent of this message is going to be today. But prayerfully, it will help you to understand that if the very disciples, there were 11 left, as you well know by this point in time, Judas has hung himself and he's betrayed innocent blood, and he come back, brought back the money of those that had given you the money, cast it down at their feet, and he's just went out and hung himself. So now we see in verse number 16 that the 11 disciples have come and they've now met with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you could go back and read that. There was bribery of the soldiers going on, and so the priest, and they're trying their best to say, well, his people come and stole him away. But then in verse number 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And then it said, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now that's what I want us to do today. I want him to just worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It said that whenever they saw him, they worshiped him. But the last three words of that says, but some doubted. Now, how is it that some would come to worship, but yet some would come to doubt? And doubtful disputations in a church house are still prevalent in today's society. So then I had to look up the word doubt. I wanted to know what it means. And to doubt something is to call into question the truth, or to lack confidence in, or to consider something as unlikely. I tell my brother something, and I tell it to him in truth, that I am way better looking than him, and that is the truth, and then he says, I doubt. It. Now he's putting a question mark around the fact by saying, I doubt that. But anyway, it could have been said of those that would kill Abraham Lincoln or crucify Christ. I doubt that anybody could get to him. I doubt that anybody could do that. And brother, they're calling into question whether or not that really could happen. There were some that said, I doubt that a dead man could ever get up out of a grave. I highly doubt that that could possibly happen. I mean, I saw the Roman soldier whenever he took the spear and up under the rib cage and thrust it into his side, and forthwith came blood and water. I doubt that anybody could survive that. I doubt that that could ever happen. My friend, the Lord overcame death, hell, and the grave. He put aside all doubt for your disputation. He put aside any doubt in my mind. You say, well, how in the world can you not doubt just a little bit? Listen, if the 11 disciples, some of them worshiped, but some of them still doubted him, it's possible that somebody today would be just like like them. Thomas said, except that I see him, and except that I can actually take my hand and thrust it into his side, except that I could put the hand on the nail prints in his hands and feet, I'm really not going to believe him. But he got a promise, but blessed are they which have not seen, but yet they still believe. And then even after the resurrection and the ascension and the showing, here we are getting a great commission. What was it that Peter said? He said, I go a-fishing. Wait just a minute, Peter. He called you from that work, and he's now got a work for you to do, and you just make this bold statement, I'm going fishing. And let me tell you, God's got a work for every single one of us, and whenever that work comes into play, I don't want you to put a question mark around it. So anyway, as we get started today, it's my hope and my prayer today that you won't doubt Jesus, you won't doubt the scriptures, you won't doubt the things that your pastor would preach. There's going to be many people, and even though they might have doubt in their hearts, but then they're not going to stop celebrating Christmas. They're not going to stop giving gifts. They're not going to stop receiving gifts, even though they doubt that little baby that was born in a stable and laid in a manger, lest that the world would be reproved of sin. They're going to doubt that that would be the deity, the spotless lamb, conceived through what was an immaculate conception, because Mary had never known a man. They doubt all that because of the fact that never had this happened before. Never has a virgin that's never known a man come to bear a child. That's never happened. It's never happened before, and it won't happen since. You say, well, there's through artificial insemination and all this. I'm talking about what God said whenever he said she was a virgin and she had never known a man. You say, well, what about these in vitro fertilizer? They still got a man. They've got the sperm. They met it with an egg, and that baby was born. But there wasn't none of that going on, because Mary was a chaste, pure virgin, and God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, came upon Mary, and she birthed a child. That's not real hard for me to understand with my little mind, and I don't doubt that at all, because God said it happened, and I believe that it happened, and I believe that that little Christ child, he grew up, and at the age of about 30, he began a public ministry that ended up with him hanging on a Roman-made cross, bleeding, suffering, and dying for our sins and our iniquities, and then 3 days later, after they laid him in a barred tomb, and they rolled the stone away, not that he could get out, but that we might see him, that he's not in here anymore. I don't doubt all that. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going away, what's going to happen to him, Brother Tam? The Bible said he's coming again in like manner, meaning that he's going to step out on a cloud one day and he's coming back. I don't doubt that. I have no reason to doubt the holiness and the purity of the scriptures. I don't doubt that at all. And I hope that you won't, as the definition of doubt, I hope you won't call into question the truth. I hope it will not cause you to lack confidence in the cross. And I hope that it will not cause you to consider something as being unlikely. I believe that there's enough scripture, and in this late day of technology, in Google, in massive search engines, in several languages, being every direction, being able to be looked at from different angles. I mean, you can look at this, Brother Chris, from every angle. You can take it from every language, and that book still stands. It still stands as true. The historical accounts of the Bible are still there. The prophetical works of the Bible, they're still there. The prophecy that were fulfilled has still been fulfilled and still stand true. And there's still some yet that will come to pass, and they will still come to pass. This Bible's true. So I'm not sure why, whenever he comes, the 11 disciples went away with him into Galilee and then into a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I don't want you to doubt today. I want you to understand that Satan will fill our hearts with doubts about our Savior. He'll fill our hearts and say, that's not possible that a virgin could conceive. The Bible says it so we need to take him at his word. Satan will say, well, there's no way that you that lived a moral, upright life, that were not really a bad person, that maybe just disobeyed mom and dad a little bit. There's no way that God's going to take and put you in a devil's hell if you don't get saved and consider you just as guilty as the man that actually was committed murder. There's no way that God's going to hold you, the good, upright, moral boy that lived a good old life, lived by the golden rule, did everything just right. There's no way that God's going to hold you on equal footing with a rapist or a terrorist that would blow himself up or an abortionist or any other person. Brother Tim, that's exactly what God will do. You can be just as moral and upright, and you can be a liar at tongue, but be a giver at heart, and God will still hold you accountable. And you're on the same sin level as the one that is a murderer. Or there's other things. You're both lost and undone without God. You say, well, do you believe in degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, I do. But hell, I don't care in what form. And I don't care in what degree of punishment that it is. I'm not going there. By the grace of God, I won't have to. But however, whenever Satan does bring these doubts about salvation or your Savior, about the sanctification process, Brother Chris, justification is by faith and faith alone. It's a one-time occurrence. You are justified by faith, but sanctification is a long process, Brother Scott. Brother Joe, it takes a lifetime of separation and sanctification for ever us reach to that point where we actually might start to look like Christ, to be like Him. I'm not like Him. I want to be like Him. Brother Kenny, I strive to be like Him. I want to be like Him. Brother John, what is it going to take to make me like Christ? I tell you what, He went through a lot of persecution. I might have to undergo a little bit of that. He underwent some scourging. I might have to go through some of that. He went through some sons of Belial, some liars that lied and cheated on Him. We might have to go through some of that. What is it going to take us to conform to the image of His Son? It's going to take a life of sanctification. It's going to be a lifelong process, Brother Gwen. And I look at you and it's working. It's working well. When I look at some of you and I see you in the way that God, don't doubt that the sanctification process is working, because I see it in your faces. I see it in your lives. Seem like some of those old saints that's gone on here lately, man, they were sanctified, brother. They got real close to God. I look in the face of a Brother Woody. I look in the face of some of these men like your daddy, Brother Tam, and they've gone on now. But I'm telling you what, that sanctification process come to fulfillment. And that, the closer I looked at them and examined their lives, and the examination process started to foreshow who they were, brother, they looked a whole lot like Him. They started to look a whole lot like Christ. Might have been like the Enoch process. They got a little bit too close to God and said, God, come on. God said, just come on up here. So I ain't even got to the message today, but anyway, that's what I'm talking about today. I don't want to put a doubt around anything, because Satan's going to fill your mind with doubts as it is. But whenever Satan starts to put these doubts around your heart about the things that be of God, what he does is he starts to steal your joy. He starts to take away those things that you really, really can glean from His Word, from being around the cross and from being around the things of God, from being around each other. As Miss Melissa testified, you see one come pray and others come pray with them, and then you see another one go hug somebody. I'm telling you, folks, we need each other. And brother, I'm telling you, Satan will put doubts in our hearts today. There ain't no need to go down there. There ain't no need for you to go down there today. That place has got nothing for you. I promise you today that Miss Wanda Byers would be here today if she could. Miss Wanda's been sick. She's suffering with the shingles and stuff. Brother Danny said it may be even after the first of the year before she could be here. I guarantee you Miss Mae Bumgarner would be sitting right there if she could. There's going to come a time when you're going to want this and you can't have it. There's going to come a time you wish you could be here and you won't be able to be. So what I'm saying is don't let Satan put doubts around the fact that you need to be here and you need God. You need a greater presence of God in your life. The devil's going to say, you don't need that. The Bible said that many went with Him and they worshiped Him there, but some doubted. I want you to move beyond that today. I'm hopeful and prayerful that today's message will help somebody with their doubt. If it is a doubt of salvation, stop doubting. Get it nailed down. If it's a doubt about your service, then stop doubting it and start serving. If it's a doubt about surrender, stop doubting and surrender. Stop doubting and do what God's called us to do, because that's the greater purpose, is to see souls saved and be on the winning side. As Miss Macy was playing before, we didn't sing it, but she was playing that before the open. And Brother Jamie Blackburn, I was up here singing a duet together. Brother Jamie, we need to start serving God, because we are on the winning side. There's something to this thing. The verse is written today. Weren't written to just lay people. They weren't written to just commoners. These scriptures were written to 11 disciples, about 11 disciples. Look what it said. Yeah, they were written to about the 11 disciples, but they were written for us today. If anybody had trouble with doubt that was so close to the cross, could it then not be that we would suffer from the same thing, that we would deal with doubt? It says here that the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. I want to take this just for a second and say, don't doubt His word. Do you realize how important His word is? I want to read one verse of scripture out of the, I don't have it marked up, but I believe it to be the 138th division of Psalms. 138th division of Psalm. Quickly flip there. I believe it to be verse number 2. It is 138:2. Don't doubt His word. Brother Gwynn, is that word precious to you, son? Why is the word so precious to an old saint of God? Brother, because it was in there. The Bible said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And we do. The word of God is precious to us. Why? Because it's God. It is God in the flesh. And He said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's God. That's why it's so precious. In the 138th division of Psalm, in the second verse of that, the latter part of that, tells us that these words, I'll just read the whole verse. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word of God is important. The word of God is true. And I don't want you to doubt what the scriptures tell us. The scriptures are true. Be it against persecution, or be it against prosperity, or be it against promises, be it against the power of God, whatever it is, God's word's true. And it's even true, Brother Chad, for peace that comes in different forms, comes in ways that you won't even realize. It'll come in, it'll just kind of nestle on you and settle down on you, peace that you don't even know where it come from. You said you can't speak to that occasion because you've not suffered loss. I have suffered loss, and I too have felt peace. Aren't you glad for a peace that'll just come on you and settle down on you? Brother Kenny, we announced it in the prayer room the other night to pray for you because your test come back in a way that you weren't really pleased with, but it was God, and you're okay with that, and you just trusted God. Trust God. Why? Because you can take Him at His word, because the promises and the precepts found in that word are still settled. Amen. Does He not say in His word that thy word is forever settled in heaven? And if it's settled in heaven, that means it's not changeable. It's always steadfast. It's unmovable. Brother Gwynn, it's not going to change. It's forever settled. Amen. His word is just, it's righteous, it's holy, it's pure, it's undefiled. Chris, you can trust it. You got a banker sitting right behind you. Miss Shirley, not disparaging First Citizens because I got an account over there. But I trust the word of God more than I do a bunch of bankers. I do. Back years ago, when Cindy and I lived so close to the dollar, many of you have never lived this way. And thanks be unto God, I don't right now, but I might again someday. She would go to the Walmart and she would go to the store. Miss Jan, she'd have her list. She knew exactly what she could get. And when she got to the checkout, she might have to say to the teller or to the register cashier, can you give me the subtotal on that? What's she doing, Brother Gwynn? She's making sure there was enough money in the checking account that she could buy that. And she might just have to say, well, we're going to have to put that back. And it might be the day that we were going to have pork chops, but now we're not going to have. We may have to settle on something else, like the round steak, the bologna or something. And that's just the way we live, Brother Tim. We live that way. And I trusted a banker. We had money, a little bit of money in our savings account. And I went to a banker, much like yourself, and I said, will you link my savings account to my checking account just in case I get too close, just in case my wife overdraws? And it happened right there at Harry Green's store. We live just out the road. And I'll tell you, I love those folks, and I still love them today. Brother Tam, it's embarrassing, though, when they call you and say, Mark, we got a check back. What'd you get a check back for? It says insufficient funds. That's embarrassing, especially whenever you got a little bit of money in a savings account. And I told that lawyer, that teller, that whatever y'all are, how about linking my two accounts together in case we overdraft? That way, in $100 increments, they can take it from here and put it here to cover my misfortune. It didn't happen. So I went to my bank and I said, well, you were supposed to link these two together. Well, we made a mistake. You said, well, you shouldn't be so prideful. Everybody in here has bounced a check at one time or another. I hope I never bounced another one. But you know what? She said, we just made a mistake. There's not one of those in here. Brother, you can trust that. You say, why'd you tell that whole story? I'm saying, Brother John, more than money in the bank, more than anything else, you can trust his word because it is steadfast. It is settled, my brother, and you can take it to the bank. If you're going to doubt anything, doubt your pastor, because I give you much reason to doubt. Doubt what I'm standing and doing, but do not doubt the word of God that I preach. Don't doubt that. That word's true. Many of you said, preacher, we can't take you serious. We just gonna take you serious. The only time I heard you say it the other day, Brother Tim, the only time I take you serious is when you're up there. That's probably good. It might not have been you. It probably was one of these other knuckleheads. And I said other, meaning many. My wife has said, I don't take you serious except that when you're behind the pulpit. What are you shaking your head about, Sam? Folks, you can trust his word. It's forever settled. So don't doubt his word. If God tells you to do something, do it. Keep looking back in the scriptures. It says when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubt him. This is where it's going to get real close to a Christopher Shoemate. This is where it's going to get real close to some of you. The greatest thing in a man's life is what he's going to do for God. So I would say this, don't doubt his word, just trust it. And then I would say don't doubt his will. Trust it. I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you with all authority, I'm supposed to be your pastor right now. There's no doubt in my mind I'm supposed to be right here on this day at this hour. Now, next week at this time, I don't know what God's doing. I don't look that far ahead. But right now, I do not doubt God's will on my life and my servitude. Right now, I'm supposed to be right here, Tim. Like it, lump it, take it, leave it. I'm supposed to be your pastor. And I know that. And if God tells me to move, I'll move. You say, what's this about then? I'm saying that God's got a will for your life. God's got a will for your life and for your life and for my life. And bless God, we ought to be striving and seeking God's face whenever we search out his will. Search him out and say, Lord, what is it? What will thou have me to do? And then whenever he gives you the marching orders, take him at his word and trust his word and don't doubt his word because it's settled already. We've already talked about that. You say, well, what is God's will for my life? Brother Chris will be up here in just a little bit. He shared something very intimate with me the other night. Way up in the morning, in the afternoon, in the day, he talks to his pastor. He talks to the Lord before he talks to me. But God's give him defined marching orders. And he's wanting to step into those orders. Why? Because he's for sure that this is the will of God in the direction that God's taking his ministry. And he wanted a minute today to share that. And I'm going to let him do that in just a minute. But I've not preached messages in here the last few weeks about lazy laborers and faithful farmers, and Satan hath hindered. Go back to the last few messages. It seems like we get into these things and we go down this path of encouragement, 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 love, 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 or chastisement, chastisement, rebuke, rebuke. But here lately, God's just been trying his best to get somebody to do something to comply with what he's telling them, and they're just refusing. You say, well, I wish they'd get over that so we can move on. What if it's you? I wish that one would. I'm glad Chris has finally got direction. But I'm ready for you to move on beyond that preaching you've been doing here lately. He's already surrendered, so now what? Uh-oh. Must be for somebody else. Don't doubt his will. Brother Scott Wagoner, how long did he preach Miss Marlene before he finally took the pastor to that little church up there? 15 years? 13? 15? It was a long time, wasn't it? Well, about 14, 15 years maybe. Probably longer than that. He waited, kept preaching, kept filling in for me and filling in for the other preacher until God gave him orders. Then when God gave him orders, there he goes. For some, it's quicker than others, and some, it takes a little longer. Brother Chris, I'm glad that you're settled. I'm glad you're finally settled on what God would have. But for the rest of us, let's don't doubt his will. You say, well, Tim said, what's God's will for my life? Tim, that's between you and God. But his will won't have you sitting at the house doing nothing. I promise you that. Will, is that right? Is that what God's will is for your life, that you sit up there on the side of the road and do nothing? That's not true. Amanda, you might be looking and saying, well, what's God's will for my life? You got two reasons right there on either side of you. I think God's will for your life is sitting on either side of you, training up your children the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. It tells the mothers to teach the younger daughters in the way they should go. They come up. It's all in there. This word is interwoven in here, what our will is, what God's will is concerning our lives. So what else is it, Brother Gwen? He said study. He said pray. You said, is that in there? Hebrews 10:25 says come to church. 2 Timothy 2:16 says to study to show thyself a word approved unto God, work, and thee not to be ashamed, right and divine the word of church. He says to study. He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing, so we ought to pray. There's some things you should be doing, you're not doing. But don't doubt his will for your life. And I'm going to close on this one. Don't doubt the work that he's called you into. With that said, Brother Chris, you come on up here. You say, well, how are we going to close out a message on that? I don't know. I just told Brother Chris that we would know. He said, well, when am I going to do it, at the beginning or the end? I said, I don't know, Chris. I said, God will show me. He'll show you. I want you to give an attention, get him an attentive ear. We've still got 10 minutes to the hour. Listen, you're still before the Methodist. You're still before the Presbyterians. You're still before everybody else. But let me tell you,